Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is August the 23rd. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode is going to be a Dolphins-focused episode, recapping a little bit of the game between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Miami Dolphins. So, first things first, the Dolphins ended up getting the win in this game by a score of 22-7. So, at least on the scoreboard, it looked like a very positive win, but it's a preseason, so what I'm looking at mostly is the first teams, the second teams, and how were they able to perform, and how is that going to reflect how the team plays come regular season. So the first thing we're going to go over is the quarterback competition. Ryan Fitzpatrick ended up getting the start in this game, and he finished the game 12 for 18, 126 yards, and a touchdown, a rating of 105. So if you hear that stat line, you must think that Ryan Fitzpatrick had a pretty good day. Well, that is not really the case, because if you look at what he did against the first team for the Jacksonville Jaguars, it was a pretty miserable first half. He ended up finishing with 5 for 11 and 33 yards passing at the half. The Jaguars' defense was absolutely dominating the game in this first half. Josh Allen, especially the rookie, was completely dominating the Miami Dolphins' offensive line and was making an impact, it seemed like, on every single play. So it was a good game from Jacksonville rookie Josh Allen. But as for Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's hard for me to say, even with that stat line, that he had a good game, because he came back in the second half. He was going up against a lot of guys who were backups. He connected with O'Leary on a pretty big 30-yard play, and then he also connected with Mike Gesicki on a big 29-yard catch, where Gesicki made this nice catch where he was kind of tracking it over his shoulder, caught it while falling, and it ended up being a really nice play for 29 yards. So Fitzpatrick picked up two big chunk plays there. He ended up capping off the drive with a nice little touchdown pass to Mark Walton. He kind of lobbed him a pass in the flats. It was a pretty nice throw for what it was, but Walton was about as open as you could get. So Fitzpatrick, the way I'm looking at it, there was nothing that really excited me here in Ryan Fitzpatrick. There was, despite the stat line, despite that nice little drive against the Jacksonville second string, despite that, I still felt really demoralized from what I saw in Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I was really anxious to see what Josh Rosen would do when he came in. Josh Rosen ended up coming into this game, and he had a nice little performance, 5 for 7, 59 yards passing, and he did have 23 yards rushing as well. So Josh Rosen's performance on the stat line may not jump out the same way that Ryan Fitzpatrick's does. It may even say that Ryan Fitzpatrick had a better performance, but that is really not the case. Josh Rosen looked composed as ever. His demeanor, something I talked about last week, how Ryan Fitzpatrick looked just defeated, was kind of sulking around. Josh Rosen came in here and really had the composure of a leader. Not only that, but his pocket presence was something that almost felt foreign. I don't want to take too many jabs at Ryan Tannehill. I don't want to be constantly talking about the X, but Ryan Tannehill's pocket presence was one of my biggest knocks on him. He had no internal clock as to when pressure was going to be arriving. On the other hand, Josh Rosen showed the complete opposite of that. There were times where there was pressure on his back about to get there. I thought he was going to get sacked, and he was able to dodge it. That especially showed on one play where he connected with Isaiah Ford for this huge 39-yard catch. And I just thought that Josh Rosen was going to be hit from his blindside. He was able to bounce around the pocket, make this beautiful dime of a throw while on the run. And those are the kind of plays that really stuck out to me. Now, I know it was a very bold thing of me to say that Josh Rosen looked like the most special quarterback in last year's draft class, one that had guys like Sam Darnold, had Baker Mayfield, and even Josh Allen. And I said that Josh Rosen just had something special, and it was his ability to throw accurate passes just organically, really effortlessly, and just put him right there on the money. His accuracy, his ability to throw from different arm angles and throw a tight spiral, he just looked like a really natural passer. And it was plays like that that really showed itself in this game. I really liked his arm. I liked his composure. I liked his ability. He may not be the quickest guy. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not even Josh Allen when it comes to speed, but he's able to bounce around the pocket and know when to stay there and when to leave. And I think that's a very underrated trait for a quarterback. So Josh Rosen, to me, undeniably wins this quarterback competition at this point. And I'm not going to stand up and say, because I tweeted this as well, that I'm not going to act like Josh Rosen would have been carving up the Jacksonville first team, because that's not the case. I really think the Jacksonville Jaguars first team is so good. On top of that, the Dolphins offensive line is really bad. It probably would have been a very similar situation. But Ryan Fitzpatrick still hasn't proved anything differently. Josh Rosen has the age advantage. He has that mysteriousness about what he could be advantage as well. Josh Rosen wins his quarterback competition. There's nothing that Fitzpatrick has done to distance himself in this or make a case for himself. So after all this had ended, it really shocked me when Brian Flores said that he is not going to rush this young quarterback. And I understand that to an extent if Josh Rosen was a true rookie. But Josh Rosen has a whole year of NFL experience under his belt. At some time, you're going to have to just throw him in there. And I know it's a long season. There's going to be plenty of opportunities. Even if Fitzpatrick gets a start, Josh Rosen will 100% be the starter at some point. But the Dolphins are just not in a position right now to play the waiting game. The one thing they could not have is be stuck at the end of the season with a dilemma like, oh, we don't know at this point if Josh Rosen is the guy or he isn't. That question needs to be definitively answered by the end of the season. You need to know, are we going to draft Tua or are we going to invest in other positions because we think Josh Rosen is a true franchise quarterback. The one thing they cannot afford is to have that question remain at the end of the season. So in my mind, Josh Rosen, competition won. If Brian Flores elects to still go with Ryan Fitzpatrick week one, fine, I guess. But Josh Rosen has to be in there before I'll give him a deadline of, what, week four? But even then, it still kind of goes against this whole thing of you're not starting the best player available. I said that if Fitzpatrick outplayed Josh Rosen, then he should get the role. You can't just go and hand it to the other guy. But here you have Josh Rosen winning the competition, and it seems to be very clear. And they're going to side with Fitzpatrick just because of this idea that you have to give Rosen more time, which frankly, I just don't agree with. I think he should be the starter week one because he has more to offer. And frankly, he won the competition. So that's just my thoughts on this issue. Now, to continue to recap some of the game, the Dolphins rushing in this game, at least from the first team, was pretty bad. Kalen Ballage had a ton of carries, 12 carries for 17 yards. But as I say almost every week, and I'll probably say it into the regular season as well, if your offensive line is bad, that's going to affect every component of an offense. And that's what happened. Kalen Ballage had nothing to work with. I still think he's a very talented back. I do think that Kenyon Drake is going to succeed more in this offense because he is a lot more agile. He has that kind of ability to make something out of nothing, which is going to be even more important when you have guys that are already hitting your running back behind the line of scrimmage. So I think Kenyon Drake, while I don't expect him to have a great season because the offensive line is so bad, I do think that he will be the more successful between the two. And I know that's going to be a mood killer for a lot of the people that are on the Kalen Ballage sleeper hype train, that Kalen Ballage is going to take over the RB1 role. I would personally love to see it, but that's just something that I don't think is going to happen this year with the state of the offensive line. But we go to the running back three competition, which is between Mark Walton, Miles Gaskin, and Patrick Laird. I've been on the Patrick Laird hype train the entire time. I wanted to see Patrick Laird instead be the one to get some playing time with the ones out there. It ended up being Mark Walton, and Mark Walton couldn't get anything going. He had 6 carries for 3 yards. He did have that touchdown reception, which frankly, anybody with a heartbeat should be able to make that catch. So there was nothing that impressed me from Mark Walton in this game. Miles Gaskin had 6 carries for 20 yards, so that was a little bit decent. But Patrick Laird just runs with so much intensity. I just cannot deny what I see, and it's that Patrick Laird is the third best running back on this team. And based off what I've seen in the eye test, that he should have a spot on the roster. He had 6 carries for 26 yards in this game, including 1 touchdown where he just trucked his defender and nothing was going to stop him from getting into the end zone. So I know the one thing is the running back position isn't one that the team typically fills up with a ton of depth. There's been guys who had great preseason for the Dolphins, like Sonoris Perry always did well. But Patrick Laird, I just think that he deserves a spot on this roster. So hopefully the Dolphins elect to keep him. I think he's a versatile player. And I don't think Mark Walton's shown enough. So I think that is how the running back three situation, at least in my mind, should play out. Now we go on to some of the receivers. The competition here was between guys like Allen Hurns. It was between Isaiah Ford. It was between Bryce Butler for this wide receiver six spot, which is likely going to be needed by the team given the amount of injuries at the wide receiver position right now. So Isaiah Ford, to me, still the guy that should be considered for the role. He is the youngest of the bunch, and he had a pretty good game in this one. He finished with two catches for 45 yards, and like I said, that big 39-yard catch from Josh Rosen. I think Isaiah Ford should be the one the team elects to keep. Now, I will say that while Allen Hurns didn't show up on the stat sheet, he was the one playing at the beginning of the game. So that kind of concerned me a little bit. Allen Hurns was a very underrated receiver during his time in Jacksonville. So I think the fact that they were playing Jacksonville could have played into the fact that he was getting the start with the ones, kind of seeing if maybe he would find some motivation and kind of have a huge game against his former team. Well, that didn't happen. So based off what has happened in the preseason and what has been shown in training camp, I don't think Allen Hurns should be the one picked, and if they did indeed elect to go in that direction, they would be basing it off what he has shown during his time in the NFL, because among all these options, he's the one that has the most true, valuable NFL experience, I would say, of the bunch. And then there is Bryce Butler, who trails right behind. Now, Bryce Butler didn't really have any impact on the stat sheet. He didn't show up on it. But he did have one target towards the end zone, which likely would have been a touchdown. It looked like there was defensive pass interference on the play, but it was not called. So Bryce Butler wasn't able to leave any sort of impact, at least from receiving, in this game. Now, we go to the defensive side of the ball for the Miami Dolphins, and this looked like it was going to be a very gritty performance defensively for both teams. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a great defense, and they were completely eliminating the Dolphins' offense, but the Dolphins' offense were doing a pretty good job at neutralizing the Jacksonville Jaguars' first team. Now, Nick Foles did have a pretty productive performance. He was 6 for 10. He had 48 yards passing. He did have a touchdown pass where he connected with D.D. Westbrook wide open in the end zone, about as easy as it gets. But he also did have an interception, which was by Eric Rowe, and I will talk about that in a second. So Nick Foles did have a pretty productive performance. He was also helped by the fact that the rushing game looked pretty solid. Leonard Fournette had 7 carries for 27 yards, and he was able to really lay down the hammer and truck Sam Guavin, kind of a welcome to the NFL and you should try wrapping up kind of moment for Sam Guavin. But the Jacksonville Jaguars offense did not look extremely efficient, and I don't think they should. I think the Dolphins defense, while it's missing a bunch of starters, they have shown that the defense is definitely the strong point of this team, and the Jacksonville Jaguars offense has always been notoriously underwhelming. So D.D. Westbrook for the Jacksonville Jaguars had a great game. Of Nick Foles' 10 passes, he targeted Westbrook on 7 of those. So if you're thinking from a fantasy perspective, D.D. Westbrook is definitely a guy to keep on your radar from a PPR perspective. Definitely someone who could have some sleeper kind of value. But going back to the Miami Dolphins defense, Jerome Baker continues to be an absolute star. There is absolutely no reason why he should be on the field during preseason. If this guy goes down, then the whole rest of the defense will suffer tremendously. Jerome Baker is just going to be a cornerstone of this defense for years to come. I think the Dolphins really lucked out and found someone in Jerome Baker. Other guys that I had to give prop to, Sam Aguavin, I kind of knocked on him a little bit for not wrapping up Leonard Fournette and instead trying to lay the hammer on him, and it kind of backfired. He is still a very talented player. He's all over the field, really showcasing his speed. Sam Aguavin had another pretty solid performance. Eric Rowe is someone that really surprised me. He had one bad play that was a defensive pass interference, where if he turned his head around just a second earlier, it would have been a great defensive play. He did not do that, but aside from that, his interception was a great play. He had another play, I believe it was on third down. I'm not sure who the receiver on him was. It may have been Keelan Cole or it may have been D.D. Westbrook. And he was able to be just physical enough to avoid a defensive pass interference, but also prevent the catch from being caught. So Eric Rowe, I was very down on him completely unconvinced of his ability. Now, I will say the Jacksonville Jaguars don't have an elite number two receiver. They don't even have an elite number one. So there's going to be a ton of guys, I think, in the NFL this regular season that expose him a little bit. But as far as a number two corner goes, I don't think he's going to be the absolute liability that I thought he was compared to guys like Torrey McTyer last year and other guys on this roster. I think Eric Rowe, while he won't be this elite and complete solid fix, but at least for this season, he's going to step in and be decent and good enough that the team can have a functional scheme that can help the team at least learn something for the future. So that is a good to hear that the CB2 spot looks at least somewhat kind of filled up by Eric Rowe, at least for this upcoming season. Now, other guys that had a good performance were Nate Orchard, who had 2 sacks in this game. He's going to make the team easily, in my mind. Bobby McCain, I think it was his responsibility on that wide-open D.D. Westbrook touchdown pass, so that was not good to hear. Bobby McCain also was injured. He injured his shoulder in this game. It was reported to be nothing, but I'm still a little bit concerned about what happened on that play. His shoulder looked slumped, his arm was kind of hanging, and he kind of sped off the field a little bit. So that's something to watch. Chris LeMans looked great on special teams. There's one play going around Twitter where he just put his head down, sprinted across the field, and laid down the returner the moment he got the ball. So that was a good game from him. Jamal Wiltz was someone that had a very good game last week, but in this game, I thought he was getting exposed quite a bit. So I will say that he kind of had a down performance in this one, at least from me. And then Minka Fitzpatrick, he had a few good plays inside the box, which were pretty good. Travis Wingfield put one where he had a nice tackle stopping the run. But the main play was when he laid down the hammer. I believe it was on D.D. Westbrook as well, where he just was caught him over the middle and just completely laid him out the moment he caught the ball and ended up being an incompletion. So those kind of plays are the ones I like to see from Minka Fitzpatrick. Those are the ones I stereotypically think about. As I said, I believe he's better when he's out there roaming the field. So while he did do okay in the box, and I'm sure if the team elected to play him there, he would be serviceable. I don't think that's really playing to complement his skill set. So I do think that he is better as more of a free safety or as kind of a nickel corner, or even a boundary corner, someone who's just kind of roaming the field a little bit more, as opposed to someone who's tasked more with stopping the run and being involved in these blitzes and being in the box. That's just my opinion when it comes to Minka Fitzpatrick. So my final note will be about the special teams, and specifically will be punt returning and kick returning, which has looked pretty miserable. I don't like seeing Preston Williams on punt returns because I do think he's already too valuable to this team. And frankly, I don't think any productive thing is going to come out of him returning it. And the only thing that could happen is an injury. He hasn't really been flashing anything as a punt returner. And I don't want to use that as a knock against him, but I just don't think that he's a good punt returner. And I don't think that he even thinks so. I just think he's kind of out of position when he is tasked with doing that. And I do think kick returning as well. We saw Mark Walton returning some of these kicks, and he did not look good either. So this all kind of just shows why Jakeem Grant and that signing makes more sense. They're not breaking the bank for him. He's getting paid around the same area as guys like John Ross and Ted Ginn, a little bit more than them, but he's in the same vicinity of those guys. And I do think he offers more upside. He could potentially be an actual player, a key player in this offense if he's utilized correctly. And I do think that the skill set he provides is so rare in the NFL. And if Brian Flores is smart, they will find a way to incorporate him into this offense, whether it's by screens, by having him as a running back in the shotgun, whether it's by jet sweeps. Just get the ball in Jakeem Grant's hands and he will go to work. And the fact that the Dolphins were able to invest this much in him says to me that they have something very interesting planned for Jakeem Grant. So to summarize this game and this episode, Josh Rosen, to me, won this quarterback competition. Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't able to show anything to make a case as to why he should be the quarterback. Number two, it was a rough game from Kalen Ballage, and Patrick Laird should be the RB3 in this game. Next note was Isaiah Ford should be the wide receiver 6 in my mind. The next note was that D.D. Westbrook, if you're looking for PPR in a fantasy league, he could be someone of value. Next note, Josh Allen, the rookie for the Jacksonville Jaguars, looked like an absolute star in this game. And then the last note, the Dolphins defense looks to be the strong point of this team. And keep in mind, they're missing a ton of talent. They're missing TJ McDonald. They're missing Rashad Jones. They're missing Kiko Alonso. They're missing Raekwon McMillan. There's just a ton of guys that aren't playing for the Miami Dolphins right now on this defense, and yet the defense is appearing to thrive because of the new scheme, which says a ton about Brian Flores. So that is a great thing to hear. So that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow my podcast. That is at Via The Source on Twitter as well, or like it on Facebook. And guys, I appreciate it as always for tuning in. It means a lot. I've been getting a few more reviews on the podcast app. So if you want to leave a review too, that would help a ton. And for future episodes, send questions. I would love to answer them on the future episodes. As always, guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.